are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
Yeah, you sound very familiar, actually. It's almost like you sound like Matt Thompson.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
So I'm rolling with Snell and, God help us, Martin Perez. It'll be actually very tough for me not to call you Matt at times, but hopefully you can forgive me if I do.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
We've got that same hometown dialect going, so you should feel comfortable here today.
Of all the plays that we've talked about today, I feel most comfortable with David Dahl. Now, as I say that, I'm sure he'll go over 5 with like 3 strikeouts.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to episode 144 of the Friends with Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I am your host, Mike Werner, and thank you for joining us for another DFS podcast. With me today is a special guest, Wes Anderson from Today's Knuckleball. Wes, how's it going, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Mike.
Yeah, you sound very familiar, actually. It's almost like you sound like Matt Thompson. How do you know him, by the way?
Yeah, we've got that same hometown dialect going, so you should feel comfortable here today.
Oh, I'm very comfortable. It'll be actually very tough for me not to call you Matt at times, but hopefully you can forgive me if I do. Where can we find your work? Tell us a little bit about yourself, what's going on in Wes's world.
Sure. I do a little bit of fantasy baseball as well as fantasy football. On a couple of different platforms, for my baseball DFS content, you can find me at Today's Knuckleball, like you'd mentioned. There each day, I'll post a cash games FanDuel lineup. I also do some football DFS that you can find on Today's Pigskin as well as Gridiron Experts.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll definitely check out your stuff for football. And where can you be reached on Twitter so that everybody can find your work?
Sure. On Twitter, it's Wander34.
Awesome. And like I mentioned, we are going to be going through the DFS slate today for Friday, August 5th. We are going to be going through the DraftKings pricing, which I know is a little bit different for you, Wes, but I know you play both platforms, so it'll be okay. Before we do that, though, please give us a rating and review on iTunes. Every 5-star review helps us out immensely. It helps us get noticed by other people and helps us grow in popularity. So please go ahead and do that. And also, we are sponsored by OfficialFantasyRings.com. OfficialFantasyRings.com, go over there and customize a ring for your league. It doesn't cost too much. Maybe pitch in $10 from your friends and you get a fully customizable ring that you can have instead of a trophy or a belt. If you put in the promo code FWFB at checkout, you'll receive 20% off. I know earlier in the year it was 10%. Nowadays it is 20%. So get that extra little bump in savings. And we also get a little help from that as well. With that, let's get in the slate, man. So overall, we have, it looks like Justin Verlander on the top of the pricing for DraftKings facing the New York Mets. I'll just ask you straight up, are you playing him today?
Based on price alone, I'm out. I love the matchup. I love the strikeouts ceiling that he has. But I think there's some other pitchers at better price points that make more sense for us as we move into the slate here.
I agree. I mean, DraftKings waited a long time to actually bring their pricing out. I had been looking at this slate for a couple days now, and Justin Verlander, when I was doing my research, was one of the top options that was on the slate. But it's really hard just to justify paying that $13,400 price tag. It's just really hard to do that. He has been stellar. I'm sorry, it's $13,600, by the way. But he has been really stellar of late. His last 3 home starts, which has been 24 innings, he's struck out 30 guys, which is obviously really important on DraftKings. And, so far at home, he's struck out more, and he's walked less. He has given up a few more home runs, but I would advise not to use him in this slate, especially on DraftKings. It might be a little bit different story on FanDuel pricing, but we'll kind of check it out then. How about Noah Syndergaard? I personally am not going to be in on him. He has struggled a bit over his last three road starts, giving up 7 earned runs his last 14 innings pitched on the road, 7 walks to 18 strikeouts. So you know the strikeouts will probably be there. But straight up, man, the Twins have been hot. Or not the Twins. The Tigers have been hot lately. They're rocking the second-best OPS over the last week, doing a really good job of not striking out. I think you're in agreement with me, right?
Absolutely. Since the elbow spur has shown up or come out, his innings pitched are really low. I think he's topped 5 innings just once in his last 4 starts. I just don't think there's a lot of upside there.
Yeah, I agree. He is a few hundred less. He's 11-2 as opposed to 13-6, like I mentioned with Verlander. Not to say that I don't think Syndergaard is worth playing in certain spots, especially in tournaments. There's always that upside with him, but I don't advise playing him today. John Lester is our next option that we'll talk about. He is 9,600 going into Oakland, his former stomping grounds, as you will. Vegas likes him today. Do you, Wes?
I don't. Since the All-Star break, there's just been no consistency. You know, his last time out against Seattle, he looked really good. But then in the start before against the Milwaukee lineup, that is average at best. You know, he didn't even make it through 4 innings or into the 5th inning. I'm sorry. So there's the low floor with Lester because of his inconsistency since the break.
Agreed. He has a 4.03 ERA on the road as opposed to 1.99 at home. That's also supported by a 4. XFIP as well. He strikes out less guys on the road. He walks more and he gives up a ton more home runs. Yes, this is the Oakland Coliseum, so it's a better place to pitch. But like you kind of mentioned and touched on, his last 3 road starts, he's given up 17 earned runs and 8 innings pitched. Oakland has been better in striking out lately, and they're also doing okay on offense, as surprising as that is. So I will also be leaning towards not playing a guy like Lester today. Anthony Desclafani is a guy I like. How about you?
Yeah, I think this is a good spot for him, particularly with the price on his side. The Pirates are scuffling right now. While he's provided kind of a solid footing for himself in terms of consistency, you kind of know what you're going to get out of him, which is always a plus when you're building your DFS lineups.
Yeah, the Pirates are doing more than scuffle right now. They have under a 500 OPS over the last week. They're going to be hitting at home in a park that's very favorable for pitchers. Desclafani has been solid over his last couple of road starts, especially in the strikeout department. He has 18 strikeouts over his last 17 road innings. You know, at the end of the day, it's whether you trust paying an over $9,000 price tag for somebody like him. Me personally, I'm completely on board doing it. I think that he's safer than he might seem. But, last year against Pitt, just to kind of throw this out there, he had 3 quality starts and 4 overall starts against them, spanning 24 innings, 2.59 ERA, 1.32 whip, averaged almost 7 strikeouts per 9. So I think at the very least, that's kind of his floor.
Yeah, and they've, for a team that's not very good in the Reds, they've won 4 of his last 5 starts. They're letting him pitch deep into the game. You know, he's had a couple 111, 114, 117 pitch outings in his last 5 or 6 starts. So there's a lot to like about him for tonight's slate.
Yeah, and I mean, just on top of that, the Reds really have nothing to play for, and he missed a ton of time earlier this year due to injury. So I'm sure they're trying to make up some of those lost innings that they had at the beginning of the season in order to prepare him for 2017. And, I think, like you mentioned, and you can kind of see that in the last few starts in terms of his pitch count, like, again, you mentioned, I think they'll let him go as far as he can. The next guy that I will mention is Blake Snell. Facing Minnesota, he's going to be at home in this one. He has performed much worse at home, but he's also at the same time, he's struck out more. He's striking out almost 10 guys per 9 in Tropicana Field, while his walk rate is almost doubled at home. I think that he is a strong tournament play just based on the fact that the Twins, even though they're very, very hot right now, still are striking out at a pretty solid clip. And they've also struggled against lefties on the season as a whole. Very, very risky play in Snell, somebody that will probably be, you know, limited in his pitch count as opposed to somebody like Desclafani. But the strikeout upside is what we're looking for, and I think in tournaments you could do worse. What do you think?
Yeah, I can't disagree with you there. I mean, in two of his last three starts, he's struck out nine guys. You know, Vegas likes him as a favorite, so there's something to be said about that as well. I think, again, at his price, there's some room on the upside as you build that tournament lineup.
Absolutely agree. Hopefully it works out. I'm a Rays guy, so... What do we feel about Michael Pineda? He's sitting there at 8,600. You know, there's definitely some tournament upside with him, especially since he has, you know, demonstrated that he can strike guys out. The home runs have been a problem, though, for him. He's given up, you know, what, five home runs over his last three home starts, facing a Cleveland team that is very, very hot right now. Are you going to be playing a guy like Pineda today, or are you going to be steering clear?
You know, I think if you're going for a boom or bust type of tournament lineup, I think he's gonna be a nice play, because with the way the Indians offense is clicking right now, I think that's gonna scare a lot of people off of him, you know. And even if he does give up, you know, a couple runs via the home run like you mentioned, those strikeouts kind of help balance him out a bit. You know, he struck out eight batters in each of his last three starts, so a guy like him at his price, he doesn't have to be perfect. He just kind of has to do what he does to kind of return the value that you're looking for. And if you happen to stumble into something more, again, the low ownership of him will be a huge boost for your chances of winning.
Yeah, for me, I think it's just the home run. If he can limit the home run ball, you know, I think he'll have a solid outing. But, you know, Pineda has been suffering from that all season, so it's not really a guarantee that he'll be able to avoid that. The next guy I'll talk about is Dallas Keuchel, and I'm still, right now, talking to you, not decided as to what to do with him. You know, he's sitting at a pretty fair price, you know, 8,100, not you know, too expensive, facing Texas, who he obliterated last year, especially in Minute Maid Park. You know, in three starts, 20 innings pitched, only gave up two earned runs, nine hits total, and struck out 31 in those 20 innings. You know, he's also been perennially a better guy at home, 3.66 ERA this year, supported by a 3.25 xFIP, you know, sitting at about 7.5 strikeouts per nine, limiting the walks at home. You know, his last three home starts overall, he's given up five earned runs in his last 20 innings, 16 strikeouts during that time. I still just am very reluctant. Texas has been top 10 in OPS over the last week. They just added Jonathan Lucroy, you know, another righty bat who can certainly hit pretty much anywhere and against anybody. What are you feeling about Keuchel today?
I'm going to fade the Houston starter for a couple reasons. First off, Vegas loves him. He's one of, the top three favorites. So a lot of people are going to be on him. His ownership numbers are going to be high. And so when he fails, that gives me a boost as we go. But the bigger factor for me has been the lack of strikeouts. You know, in his last three starts, he's only averaging five strikeouts a start. And that's been pretty consistent all season. Where I think it's like his last seven, he hasn't had more than six strikeouts. You know, on DraftKings especially, you got to have those punch outs. And I just don't see him coming against this Texas lineup as much as I'd like, anyways.
Understood. All right, somebody that I usually, or that I'm actually interested in today that I would normally not be talking about is Scott Kazmir. He's going to be facing Boston, who I know people listening to this right now are like, what the hell is this guy talking about? I'm probably going to not listen to him ever again. He's advising me to play a guy against the Red Sox. You know, hear me out. Boston has been struggling over the last week. They, as a team, have not been able to surpass 600 in OPS. They've also been striking out a lot more. They're going to be going across the country, essentially, to go to Dodger Stadium to also, you know, omit the DH from their lineup. You know, Kazmir has been somewhat strong at home, especially over the last couple. What do you think about Kazmir today and his start?
Yeah, you know, I think, again, as you build your lineup, ownership is always something that you kind of consider and trying to figure out where is it a guy that you can sneak in that's got the upside you're looking for. And I may not be as excited about Kazmir as you are, But I certainly can see the thinking there. Nobody's going to be on him because it is the Boston Red Sox. So with the ownership being so low, that's an advantage for you already before he does much. As long as he doesn't implode, it's really a win for you. So I can see it. It's probably not a play that I'm going to be putting a ton on, but certainly I can see having some shares of him.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll say this as well. I mean, we're talking DraftKings prices. I think he's more of a play on FanDuel because at the end of the day, even though he's struck out, you know, 22 guys in his last 15 innings pitched at home, you know, the Red Sox are not a team as a whole that strikes out a ton. So in FanDuel, where the win is more, you know, important, I think that he's more of a gamble there because I do think the Dodgers have a somewhat decent chance of winning the game. So, again, it's a gamble, but I do think that he'll have a very serviceable outing, you know, against the Red Sox, even though, again, it's a massive, massive gamble. How do you feel about Jaime Garcia today? A guy that I'm not particularly on. The Braves have been hot on offense lately. I know, you know, nobody would ever believe that, but they have been. They also have not really struck out all season and are striking out at a very limited clip over the last week or so. What are you feeling about Jaime?
You know, it's 6,900. I think that he's got some value. It on paper, it seems like this is a game that St. Louis should win, so you will get the small win bonus on DraftKings. But the upside is certainly going to be limited with Garcia. Atlanta doesn't strike out a whole lot. They're kind of annoying for pitchers. And that's not a good thing with Garcia already not being a strikeout pitcher. You know, in his last three starts, he's got a total of 10 strikeouts. So the price point's okay. The win is probably there, but not much of a ceiling, just a nice safe floor. So he's probably more of a cash games play. Certainly on DraftKings, he's probably less appealing than he would be on FanDuel just because of the point difference in the win bonus. But he's a guy that you can plug in if that's the price you need and feel okay about it. Kind of a safety net.
Yeah, he's definitely more of a cash game guy. You know that he probably will hit the teens in terms of, you know, his final output, but you don't know how high the upside quite is, which is why I'm really not on him. I'm more of a guy that plays tournaments. So, you know, knowing that there's not particularly a high ceiling for somebody like Jaime is the reason why I'm kind of fading him today. And the Braves, you know, like I mentioned, they're top three in strikeout percentage over the last week, and they've been pretty consistent in putting the bats to the ball lately or on the season as well. So it's, you know, it's really, you know, how risk averse you are. The last guy I'll mention is Martin Perez. I know another kind of off the beaten path play, but going into Houston on the road, he's been absolutely abysmal this year. So that's not really why I'm even mentioning him. But in his three career starts at Minute Maid Park, he has a 1.8 ERA, 1.15 WHIP, and a 16-5 strikeout to walk ratio in 20 innings pitched. Houston is dead last in OPS over the last week. They're rocking a 535 OPS, and they are striking out a ton as usual. It's sitting above 26%, second most in all of baseball over the last week. A team that just, you know, is kind of up and down in terms of their offense. So you can easily make a case that Houston is the top stack on the day, and you can also make a case that they are a team that you can fade. So I'm willing to pay, you know, the $5,600 that Martin Perez costs, even though he hasn't been good lately, and he certainly hasn't been good on the road this year, just to see if, you know, the recent, you know, output that the Astros have given is worth or is going to actually, you know, affect the game. What do you feel about Perez?
Yeah, you know, the thing I like best about Perez is that salary relief. You know, we've got a game, which we'll get to here from an offensive point of view, in Coors Field with inflated prices, with a bunch of bats that we both, I think, are going to like. And so it's more than I'm just going to start Perez, but it's, well, I'm going to get to be able to play this guy because of Perez. And I think that's where his upside certainly lies as you build your lineup. It's more of who else you're going to be able to get in there because of him.
Agreed, and that's part of it as well. You know, we're going to do our optimum lineups at the end, and, you know, I will full well admit that Martin Perez is in there, but you will know why based on the bats. Any other pitching options that you want to mention for today? You know, some guys that we didn't really touch on, Stephen Wright going into LA, just not really a fan. And I certainly, he's struggled a bit on the road. I'm just really not into it. Josh Tomlin is the third highest priced guy on DraftKings heading into Yankee Stadium, where they hit better and they also don't strike out as much. He did have a good outing against them last season. You know, Jeremy Hellickson against San Diego, I'm just not counting on it. He left his start early last time out. Felix Hernandez against the Angels. Any of these, is there any other options that are kind of intriguing to you?
No, of the ones that are left, Hernandez would be the one that's the closest. My problem with him is there's just other guys that are so close to him in price that just makes more sense. You know, I would rather pay the $300 more and go up to Snell of the Rays, you know, instead. But the rest of it, or the rest of the options, there's a lot of gas cans. So I'll pass on what's left in the heap there.
Agreed. And you know, you and I both talked about this prior to recording, and you know, Jameson Taillon is going to be at home. He's going to be facing, you know, a Cincinnati team that, you know, certainly on the season hasn't been amazing, but you know, they've struck out the fourth least over the last week. They're also hitting the ball fairly well. Close to the top, you know, about mid pack and OPS, which tells me that, you know, there's a ton of risk in that. Mind you, he's only 7,800, but just, you know, they're a team that's also been limiting Taillon. He's given up 3 home runs over those last 2 starts. You know, I just, you know, I'm just not really into it. Are you interested in Taillon?
No, his ceiling is 6 innings. You know, I think he's pitched one game in which he's gone more than 6 innings in his 7 or 8 starts that he's made here at the major league level. You look at the pitch count, he's got a high of 92 so far this season. So they're really treating him with the kid gloves on right now. And with them not competing right now, I don't sense now is going to be the time that they're going to let him go. So again, that upside that we keep talking about, I think it's pretty limited with him, as you go into tonight's action.
Agreed. And also over the last week, you know, the Reds have done a good job of walking, which means they're going to take their pitches. Joey Votto has been on a roll, so you can imagine. Go ahead.
I was just saying that pitch count should rise pretty quick, I would imagine, tomorrow, you know, in this game tonight.
Agreed. Let's move on and get into some batters. We have the catcher position to start off with here. We have a few options. You know, we're going to go through about 3 or 4 options for each position. You know, keep it kind of on the high end of pricing, and then we'll also go, you know, mid-tier and then lower tier, kind of like we normally do. Who is your top catcher for today?
With price in consideration and me willing to take a big jump or leap of faith here, I'm going to go with Evan Gattis going against your guy Perez.
I guess you're going bold, man. I mean, I don't know if Evan Gattis will ever be able to get a hit off of Martin Perez. But what's his BVP?
Yeah, sure. So historically, he's 5-for-11. Against the Texas starter. You know, anytime you play Gattis, you're playing for the long ball. You know, you almost pencil in 3 strikeouts. You're just hoping that with that 4th at bat, it's an extra base hit. But with this being at home, he's got the matchup with Perez, who's allowed 350 wOBA against righties. There's some things there to like, but certainly it is a risk because it's an all or nothing play out of the Astros DH, who will, you know, plug in a catcher here on DraftKings for us.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm completely okay with Evan Gattis being an option. He's, like you mentioned, he is a all or nothing type of gamble. You know, historically, Martin Perez is terrible against righties. This season, he has a 350 wOBA against righties, which is not good. So there's certainly a very decent shot that Evan Gattis can go deep. One of my guys that I'm into for today is Wilson Contreras. He's 3,800. He's going to be, you know, again, hitting towards the middle of that Cubs lineup that is, you know, pretty stout. Facing Dylan Overton, who, you know, has a 494 current WOBA against righties. Obviously not great, and also a very small sample size in terms of, you know, how long he's been in the major leagues. But Wellington Castillo, Wilson Contreras is the type of guy that can certainly go yard at any time. He's flexible on the field, which means he stays on the field a ton. And I think that he's a pretty safe option at his price tag. Do you have any arguments with that?
No, I'm all in on any Cub that you throw out there today. Overton's a guy, if I was going to stack, that I would be targeting for sure.
Absolutely. And the last option or options that you and I both came up with are the Philadelphia catching duo, because we don't know which one is going to get the start against Christian Friedrich, who is historically bad against either side, but particularly righties as well. So far this year, though, it's been kind of reversed. He's given up a 349 WOBA to righties and a 372 to lefties. But Cameron Rupp has been hot as of late over the last week, almost a 400 WOBA, a couple home runs. also one of the leaders in exit velocity this season as well. And then, you know, Carlos Ruiz, if he gets the chance to come in, he's priced at 3,200, which is 900 less than Roop at 41. That can certainly add some value to your team if he is indeed the one that's put in the lineup. You like both of them, correct?
Yeah, both of them historically have really made a living off of hitting left-handed pitching. And with San Diego rolling out a mediocre one, there's a lot to like there.
Absolutely agree. Let's move on to first base. And, you know, you really can't mention first base without mentioning Joey Votto today. Again, facing Christian Friedrich, he's been on a roll. You know, both you and I are pretty much, you know, in lockstep here, correct?
Yes.
And let's move on to another guy up in the higher end. We will go with Anthony Rizzo against Dylan Overton. Been pretty vocal about how bad he is against lefties and righties. Over about a 400 WOBA over the last week. Do you like Rizzo this week?
Yeah, you know, he's a guy that you just know is going to get on base. He's surrounded by other good hitters, so there's a great chance at runs being scored. There's a lot to like in addition to Oakland rolling out a punching bag, essentially, you know, in his limited experience so far here in the majors.
Yeah, and a bullpen that just really hasn't been that good. You know, just to put it in perspective, Joey Votto is the, you know, essentially the top priced first baseman, since Justin Bour, the top price guy, is obviously not able to play. Anthony Rizzo is the fifth highest priced first baseman on the slate. The next guy on our list is Paul Goldschmidt. He is 4,700. Certainly a gamble worth taking against Mr. Chase Anderson, who has one of the worst swinging strike rates in all of baseball. He's been somewhat hot over the last week. 326 WOBA, doesn't come with any home runs, but and the Diamondbacks as a whole haven't been the hottest offense in the world. But obviously Goldschmidt in a plus environment and Chase Field is a strong option. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, Anderson's allowing a 421 WOBA to righties. Goldschmidt is demonstrated he has no problem, you know, going righty on righty. It's in Arizona where the ball flies. The price is great. Certainly a lot to like about Goldschmidt as you enter action tonight.
Agreed. And we have a couple other guys that are a little bit cheaper. What do you think about Chris Carter today at 4,000?
I really like Chris Carter more as a tournament play, just because the consistency is something you got to be worried about. But Shipley, again, is a guy that's been exposed in his time, you know, at the major league level, both on the lefty and the righty side has hurt Shipley. Obviously, Carter's a righty, so Shipley's allowing a 354 WOBA there. Carter has hit two home runs in his last four games, has demonstrated the ability to drive the ball at Milwaukee. So certainly a high ceiling. And a low floor. So depending on what type of game you're playing, whether it's cash or GPP, kind of should lead you where you're going to go here. With so many other great first basemen going tonight that we're both really high on, he's a guy that you can fade and get away with. I don't know that he is a must play, but certainly at his price, it allows you to spend some money elsewhere. if you're kind of stuck in at another position where you're set on really having a guy, and there's no other way to get him in, you can go down to Carter and still feel good that there's a potential for you know, a lot of points as you go.
Yeah, and a possible, you know, one of the, you know, very few guys in the league that is a two home run threat in a given night, whether it be against a righty or a lefty. The last first baseman we'll mention is almost minimum salary in terms of first baseman. It's the $3,000 Mark Teixeira. He hit a home run last game, and he has also hit two home runs off of Mr. Josh Tomlin in his career. He's 4-for-13 overall. Obviously not a massive sample size, but, you know, just hit a home run the other night in a pinch hit appearance. Make sure that he's in the lineup. That's probably why he's so cheap, because he's been suffering from injuries all season long. But, you know, in Yankee Stadium, very short porch in right field, you know, very good on the left-hand side. Josh Tomlin gives up a ton of home runs. It definitely lines up for him to be in a very good position to hit a home run. Let's go to second base and cover some guys here. Obviously, you know, off the top, we have, you know, two stellar plays in Daniel Murphy and Jose Altuve, 5,400 and 5,100 respectively. Murphy will be facing Jeff Samardzija in Washington, and then Jose Altuve will get my boy Martin Perez at home in Minute Maid Park. Do you prefer either one, or are you going to be looking at another spot?
You know, with them being so close in price, I think there's $300 that separate the two. You really pretty much just get to pick the guy that you like the most. For me, I'm gonna lead in towards Daniel Murphy. The season he's having has just been a pretty special season. He's proven to be able to hit everybody, and Samardzija is a nobody. You know, so it certainly is a nice matchup there. Samardzija struggled, you know, against the left-handed hitters. Murphy is 6-for-12 with 3 extra base hits in his career against Samardzija, so there's some past history there. A lot I really like about him. Certainly Altuve you can't go wrong with either. You know, same thing as Murphy. He's had some success in the past against Perez, you know, 8-for-21. The plus side for Altuve is he does have that stolen base element that Murphy doesn't have, so it gives you more options to get your points. You know, some of these guys, we get so, I don't know, reliant on having to have the long ball, where it's nice to sneak in some of these guys that can run the bases a little bit and kind of help you out in other ways, give you more options, I guess, to score those points.
Absolutely. You know, and I always have considered DraftKings more of a singles site than FanDuel, which I consider more of a home run site. You're looking for home run guys in FanDuel all the time. For me, in terms of the scoring and what, you know, optimal lineups kind of are looking for is just, you know, sometimes it's okay to just roster guys that are going to get on base, you know, especially in steal bases. I think that's a very good point. The next guy we'll talk about, I love both those plays, by the way. I'm not going to add any more to what you said. Jason Kipnis at 4,200, you get a little bit of a price decrease, and he's going to be facing Michael Pineda in Yankee Stadium. He's been somewhat hot of late, multi-hit games in 3 of his last 7, 2 home runs in his last 6 games, a couple, you know, multi-RBI games, a stolen base in there. Pretty solid overall. The Indians lineup as a whole has been fairly hot, so I definitely am in for the savings at 4,200 on him. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, you know, the only thing when targeting Indians players that I have a problem with is I feel that lineup is so deep and so productive that I feel like sometimes I'm guessing which one's going to have the big night. And that's nothing against Kipnis. He's having a phenomenal year. The matchup really works in his favor tonight. But when you get these teams that are on these rolls like they are, I feel like you're kind of hoping it's going to be that guy that has the big night, as opposed to knowing it's going to be the guy that has the big night.
Agree, and I completely agree with that. They certainly are a team that, you know, one night when you're thinking Carlos Santana's going to go off, it ends up being Mike Napoli. And then, you know, another day when you think that Tyler Naquin's going to go off, you think it's Lonnie Chisenhall. And, you know, it's always kind of a circle around. Brian Dozier is another great play. He's a little bit higher than Jason Kipnis, just under Jose Altuve and Murphy there at 4,800. crushes lefties in his career. He's been the top second baseman and weighted on base average over the last week. Just really crushing the ball. You know, Tampa Bay isn't the greatest environment to hit home runs or anything, but, you know, like I mentioned, he's just been clobbering the ball three straight games with a home run for the last five overall. You know, you could definitely, you know, do worse than having slotting him in your lineup. Like I said, I do like Snell, but, you know, there is a story that you could certainly tell where Dozier has a fine game in this one. Aaron Hill, he's a guy that you and I both kind of looked at. He's a very cheap 2,500. Why do you think he's interesting today?
The price is kind of the big green light for me. As we get into this conversation, I'm going to want to spend a lot of money in my outfield. So Aaron Hill kind of sticks out as a guy that I can plug in, but he's more than just a traditional punt play. With punt plays, a lot of times, well, I'm hoping this guy will do something, or, well, he's not very good, but he's got a great spot in the lineup. You know, Hill's a pretty good hitter. He's demonstrated his ability to hit lefties. But more than that, he's already had a history in the past against Scott Kazmir that's a large enough sample size that we can kind of lean on it. You know, he's 11 for 36, four extra base hits in his career against Kazmir. So it's not a small, you know, he's got two hits and five at-bats. You know, 36 at-bats is a pretty good sample size where we can feel comfortable that he's had success. He's got Kazmir's number. So you mix that in with the price. And it's almost like it's a bingo, a free spot on the bingo card, you know, because he doesn't have to do a whole lot, and he's going to bring you great value with that price. So if you're looking to spend down, that's a great place to do it there.
Yeah, I agree with that. Certainly all he has to do is, you know, even lace one extra base hit or just get a hit. You know, I mean, really, it's that simple. So I think if you're punting a position, I think second base is certainly a place that you can do that with Aaron Hill. Let's move on to third base. We have, you know, the top tier guy, which is, you know, we haven't really mentioned Coors much today, but, you know, Nolan Arenado is up at top with Josh Donaldson. You and I both really kind of came to the same conclusion that we're not going to be playing either of them. But Chris Bryant, we were interested in. Why are we interested in him?
Yeah, he's got a prime spot in the lineup. Joe Maddon's had him in the two hole here. He's going to come off a day off. He took the day off on Wednesday, didn't play Thursday, so he's going to be well rested for tonight's slate. And again, the opposing pitcher isn't going to intimidate, you know, Chris Bryant. So he's walking into a nice situation. He's well rested. He's going to face a below average pitcher, and so certainly can expect him to do some damage. And again, another guy that can do it in a lot of different ways. You know, he's hits for some power, but he's got a great on-base percentage. And so, again, he's kind of a safe play given all those circumstances there.
Agreed. And, you know, as far as Arenado, I'm not going to say, you know, fade him, because I will never say fade Arenado no matter who the pitcher is, even if it's Clayton Kershaw up there. And especially in Coors Field, he's not been very hot lately. And, you know, it's, you know, baseball is a game of hot and cold streaks. And, you know, in my opinion, David Phelps isn't the worst pitcher in the world. Miami doesn't have the worst bullpen in the world. I just don't think it's worth paying that $5,200 price tag. If anything, I would pay $5,300 for Josh Donaldson, $100 higher, and he's facing Dylan G. Completely agree on Chris Bryant. The next guy that we'll mention here, you know, first off, you know, Jake Lamb is a great play against Chase Anderson, you know, but at the end of the day, I think that there's just some better values available. Like Danny Valencia, for instance, he's 3,700, going to be facing John Lester. Just hit a home run tonight. That is Valencia. What do you think about him in this spot, and do you think that you'll be rostering him anywhere?
You know, when Valencia is facing a lefty, he always gets consideration for me. He's cooled of late, but for such a long time there, up to about the All-Star break, maybe a little before the All-Star break, his numbers against lefties were like video game numbers. You know, his ISO was like in the 400s, his 500 wOBA against lefties. And the DFS sites, it took him a while to catch on. The price kept staying low on him. Now it's kind of come up, but when he's facing lefty, he's a guy that I like to keep an eye on, and certainly get some shares of as I go. You know, as we talked about with the pitching, Lester's been up and down of late, so it's not where he's coming in against a guy that's locked in. And he's had some success again against Lester in the past. You know, it's not great numbers, but he is 6-for-20 with 3 extra base hits against the lefty. So again, a guy that comes in at a nice price, where if I'm not willing to pay up for, you know, a Chris Bryant, certainly could look to go down here to Valencia.
Completely agree. Another guy is Hernan Perez at 4,400. He's got a 487 WOBA, 3 home runs and 5 stolen bases over the last week. Facing Arizona, Braden Shipley, I think it's pretty safe to say that he is a strong, strong play for today. I would assume that you agree.
Yeah, again, another one of these guys that can do some damage for you in a number of different ways. You know, he hits a single, it seems like he's stealing second, you know, or he's getting the extra base hit. Certainly is with the way that lineup has transformed after the trade with Texas there. He's in a good spot, you know. Now his price has come up, obviously, with this recent, 5 or 6 day stretch. But still, he's worth consideration.
Absolutely agree. And the last guy we'll touch on is Evan Longoria, 3,300, which, you know, is kind of weird, especially since, you know, he hits a little bit better at home. He's also been hitting a little bit better against righties this year. Facing Urban Santana, who's obviously not too imposing, you know, why do you think that he's priced 3,300, and are you interested?
I have no idea why, and yes, I am. I will have a lot of Longoria tomorrow. Again, like you said, he's traditionally better against lefties, but this year all of his numbers are better versus righties. Where Santana is worse against righty, so that plays into Longoria's hand as well. Longoria's had great success against him in the past, 8-for-20 with 3 home runs. So I don't know what I'm missing here, but I'll take it for now.
Yeah, I was gonna let you mention the BVP because I mean it is only 8 at bats, but at the end of the day, like, come on, it's, you know, I don't really understand it either. He's pretty much a lock for any of my DraftKings lineups, at least, because of the price at the end of the day.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was going to say, at that price point, I don't know how you can fade him.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Let's go to shortstop, and we have Jonathan Villar up at the top. Pretty much, in my opinion, the consensus top play at shortstop for today. 5,000. He, you know, has been great as of late. 4 stolen bases over his last 6 games. 4 of his last 8 at bats. Getting hits. There's not much really to say badly against VR. Just the price is high. How do you like him today in terms of his price point?
Yeah, the price is the scary thing. I love the stolen base aspect. You know, he's already got 40 stolen bases. You know, going into Arizona, which is a hitter's park, facing a pitcher that's struggled, the price isn't high enough that it's going to scare me off of him. I think that you can find value in other places where it allows you in a circumstance like this to, yeah, I got to pay up for this guy, and you can do it. You know, when we go all the way down to Longoria, or, you know, we go with him, Milton Perez, There's room to pay up when you need to, and I think this is one of those circumstances, especially with the other shortstops that are options today. There's no one that you're really going to fall in love with, so I think this is the day that you pay up and go ahead and grab him.
Yeah, he's in my lineup as of right now, and, you know, like I said, we will get to them at the end here, but I have him, you know, definitely slotted in as my shortstop at the moment. You know, obviously, Carlos Correa against a guy like Martin Perez, who, you know, I obviously like for today, but like I mentioned before, is typically bad against righties. Correa is certainly interesting in a tournament sense. He's sitting at 4,500. We have Xander Bogaerts facing a lefty at 4,600. Hasn't been too hot of late, But, you know, obviously they're both very interesting at those prices. The next guy I'll mention, though, that I'm interested in is Manny Machado facing Miguel Gonzalez. You know, obviously not an imposing pitcher by any means. It's going to be in Chicago where, you know, obviously the ballpark doesn't play as good as Camden Yards does. But Machado's a stud, and you can obviously put him in at shortstop and, you know, reap some of the benefits of that. 4,400. How are you feeling about Machado today?
Yeah, he's been cold of late. Certainly going against Gonzalez can do nothing but help him. But again, for me, I'm going to go ahead and pay up at shortstop today as well.
Yeah, and I'll just mention a couple other guys. We have Brad Miller at 4,100. He's been absolutely on a tear, hit another 3-run home run today. You know, the price at 4,100, though, is kind of what's leaning me off. He is hitting cleanup for the Rays since they, you know, traded Steve Pierce and Logan Morrison is on the disabled list, which I can understand, and they're facing Irvin Santana. But it's really hard for me to pay 4,100 when Manny Machado is 300 more. Another guy I'm about to mention is 500 less. Jonathan Villar is 900 more. It's just really hard for me to do that. But I do think that he is a recommended option based on what he's been doing lately, for sure. I'll also talk about Francisco Lindor, another guy that really hasn't been too hot lately, but you know, going to be in the short porch in Yankee Stadium, hitting from the left side. Michael Pineda has had home run issues. What are we thinking about Lindor today? Is it kind of the same story as you have with Kipnis?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same. For me, if I'm going to go with one Cleveland guy, I'm probably going to go with three or four and go ahead and stack them and try to construct the lineup that way. But he's got a great matchup again. He hits right in the middle of that order that's expected to score some runs. So the opportunity is going to be there for him for sure.
Agreed. And, you know, we'll just kind of round this out at shortstop with Didi Gregorius, another guy that has not been hot as of late, but he is going to be seeing Josh Tomlin, who is certainly home run prone, going to be going to a ballpark in Yankee Stadium where, again, he had a good start last year there. But I in my opinion, I don't think it will turn out nearly as well today. And, you know, going to be facing Gregorius, who has certainly been solid in terms of hitting home runs this year and definitely benefits from his home ballpark in Yankee Stadium. So at 3,100, I think you could certainly do worse. Let's move on to the outfield, which is just a crazy position today. You have so many ways that you can go, so many options. It's just really hard to pinpoint exactly, you know, what you want to do here. But, you know, I'll just start off at the very top and say that Carlos Gonzalez, Charlie Blackmon, Giancarlo Stanton, Marcelo Ozuna, those are all guys, you know, priced up at the very top between 5,600 and 5,200. They're pretty much lock and loads if you want to go that route. Do you feel the same way about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you got to pick one, Ozuna's your guy. But certainly you couldn't go wrong with finding a way to get more than one of those guys in your lineup.
I agree with that stance as well, because Ozuna, you know, he's the one that has the solid BVP against Jorge De La Rosa, and that's not just at Coors Field. That's also at home in Marlins Park. Obviously, Coors Field, it says it in itself. It's an amazing place to hit, and, you know, Stanton, just as much as Ozuna, you know, carries a solid BVP as well, and, you know, it's just a really, really good situation. They both will be highly owned, though, so make sure that you are aware of that when you're making your tournament lineups. That way you can kind of differentiate yourself. If you're in cash, I think that they're your top overall cash outfielders. Let's talk about Mike Trout, who has been held out of the lineup here the last few games. He's going to be, you know, facing King Felix, and tell me what he's done against him in his career.
He's owned him. He's got a very large sample size. So again, as we talk about, you know, five plate appearances versus 20, Trout's faced the lefty 72 times. He's got 27 hits, 11 of which have gone for extra bases, and five of those have gone out of the park. So when I say he owns them, he owns them.
I'm certainly in on Trout today. I don't have him currently in my lineup, but I certainly will make a lineup that has him included in there. You know, hopefully he's in the lineup at the end of the day. He did get a pinch hit appearance tonight. It looks like he is on his way back. But, you know, like I said, he was kind of day-to-day with his little illness. So it's looking likely like he will be included in the lineup for today. The next guy that I want to talk about is Ryan Braun. He is sitting at 4,900, going to be facing, once again, Braden Shipley, who I think is hot garbage. Also in Chase Fields. How do you like him for today?
Yeah, I mean, I think everything kind of plays into his favor here. You know, Braun was fighting, well, I think it was a rib injury there for a while. But, you know, he's come back for a bounce back from that homered in, you know, Tuesday and Wednesday's game. Again, Shipley's not been very strong. So certainly a lot to like about Braun.
He's going to do it three times in a row, promise. We'll talk about the Indians outfielders really fast. We have Tyler Naquin sitting there at 3,900. I really don't understand why he's that low price. I understand he hasn't been on as much of a tier as he had been, you know, previously, but still, you know, putting up solid lines at the very least. You know, hit a 2-run home run the other night. He's gotten hits in three of his last four of his last five, actually. Even longer than that, if I want to go through the list, but just really productive. Going to be, again, facing Michael Pineda. Another outfielder from the Cleveland Indians is the $3,200 Lonnie Chisenhall. He hasn't been great lately, but certainly a guy that you can pencil in if you want to go your route west, which is the Cleveland Indians stack there. How do we feel about Bryce Harper today at 4,800, who has not been very good lately?
Yeah, you know what? He hasn't been very good. But I think similar to a Trout, I think as you make your list every day of guys you like, you don't even really got to look up numbers for him. You just know that you like him. I think on this particular slate, you probably don't like him as much, just because I think this position tonight is just stacked with other options in pretty similar price points. He, especially as we build towards tournaments, I think he loses a lot of value. Teams still aren't pitching to him quite as much as you'd like to see. He's drawn his walks, which is great, but he hasn't. I mean, he hasn't homered. I think he's homered once in his last 10 games. You know, so tonight I think isn't the night that you lean on him. But I won't argue with you if you do.
Agreed. Let's talk about a few other, you know, just tournament options here. Ian Desmond is sitting at 4,400, certainly a very modest price for what he's done this season. Facing Dallas Keuchel, who, you know, again, has been very good at Minute Maid Park, especially in his career. But, you know, like you kind of mentioned, is not striking out as many batters. People are spitting out a lot of his off-speed stuff. So you're seeing a situation where Ian Desmond can certainly run into a few. Jock Peterson is sitting at 3,600. I'm really interested in that, especially since he's been so hot as of late. You know, going to be facing Stephen Wright, who isn't the best pitcher in the world by any means. What do you think about Jock Peterson in particular?
You know, because he bats so low in that lineup, he's kind of a guy I always just skip over. You know, last year when he was leading off, hitting home runs, I was all about him. But now this year that he's 7-8, I'm not near as excited about him as I was.
I get it. You know, and, you know, he has homered in three of his last six games, one of them being a pitch-hit home run. So you can't necessarily – I mean, it counts, but you can't, you know, necessarily bank on that. But certainly a guy that in tournaments I think is an okay, you know, gamble. Especially facing Stephen Wright, who we kind of mentioned is not somebody that we love for today. I do want to mention David Dahl, though. You know, 4,100, been completely smacking the ball, you know, hitting in a prime spot in the lineup. Also homered again tonight. You know, we're looking at a guy that is, I mean, he's gotten a hit in every single game he's played in. 4,100, he's a lock-in play, right?
Absolutely. You know, and if Cargo happens to have to sit out again like he did on Thursday, he slides right into that four hole, and it almost like he didn't miss a beat, you know. And until DraftKings pricing algorithm catches up to him, I think you just keep plugging him in there.
I have a feeling it might start really, really fast, especially based on what he's been doing. Of all the plays that we've talked about today, I feel most comfortable with David Dahl. Now, as I say that, I'm sure he'll go 0-for-5 with like three strikeouts. But at least prior to the game starting, I feel very, very comfortable slotting in David Dahl. You know, we want to touch on a couple other guys too, especially for tournaments. I like Matt Joyce. You brought him up as a play, somebody that had a kind of a majestic home run the other night. You know, what do you feel about him at 3,400? You know, facing Desclafani, my boy. You know, do you think that there's a chance for him to, you know, hit another one out?
You know, things set up nicely for him starting first with the price, like you mentioned. 3,400 is a pretty discounted price. You know, Joyce has been in the middle of that Pittsburgh lineup. You know, and although it's struggling, having that position, you know, on the lineup card, there's some value there. Historically, he's been known for hitting, you know, right-handed pitching. You know, there's some things there that I think will get overlooked by a lot of people. So he's going to be a guy that, again, is going to have that low ownership. The low price maybe allows you to stack two of the Coors guys and kind of sneak him in. Certainly not a highlighted guy, but a guy that if I need that discount is a guy I feel comfortable leaning on for sure.
Yeah, I don't mind it at all. And, you know, we'll kind of round things out here with a few extra comments. You know, you and I both mentioned the Cardinals prior to recording here. I think they're in a prime spot against Joel De La Cruz, I believe is the name of the Braves starter that's going to be going out there. You can pretty much look at anybody like Matt Adams at first base. You have Brandon Moss out there. You have Tommy Pham if you want to go that route. You know, there's a ton of options with the Cardinals that you can certainly, you know, feel okay about. Greg Garcia, you know, Colton Wong, whichever way you want to go. We also have a pretty decent spot for Mark Trumbo, who's 3,400. I understand he's been bad lately, but, you know, in tournaments, you certainly have to take notice to a guy that, you know, was priced up just a few weeks ago, almost to 5,000, you know, and now he's 3,400, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, you know, we talk about having that upside. He's one of the few guys that we say has that double dong potential. You know what I mean? He's got the chance to go yard twice, and in tournament play, obviously that's gold.
All right, let's get into our optimal lineups so that you guys can hopefully copy them and win a lot of money. No, don't copy them. Just check out what him and I have, and hopefully you guys can grab some guys off of it and, you know, make your own decisions on some players. with that said, we'll start off with you, Wes. What do you got?
I'm gonna follow your lead here. I'll follow your leap of faith here in
Milton Perez.
Yeah,
nice.
I already regret it as I'm saying it here, but we'll throw it out there and see what happens. From there, I'm gonna go ahead and go with Blake Snell. I like his upside quite a bit more. A catcher, I keep going back and forth here because I said I really like Gattis, but I don't know if I want to punish my pitcher with it. But I have to assume that Perez at some point is going to have to give up at least one run, so it might as well be to my guy Gattis. Yeah, so we'll stick there. At first base, I'm going to go Goldie. I really like where he's sitting for sure. Second base, I'm going to punt second base here, I think, and go with Aaron Hill. Again, I like his upside there. Longoria, I told you, I'm missing something, but I got to ride with him for sure. Shortstop, we're going to pay up for the Brewers' leadoff man. And then the outfield here, we're going to stack. I'm going to go Ozuna and Stanton to go along with then Blackman is – or no, I'm sorry, I don't have enough for Blackman for Chris Bryant.
That is very nice, I will have to admit. So, who'd you roll with at second? Hill?
I went with Hill, yeah.
All right, so you and I's lineup is very, very, very similar. We are just different in a couple of spots. So, I'm rolling with Snell and, God help us, Martin Perez for a grand total of what looks like 13 or 14-3 in terms of our starting pitcher prices. And Wilson Contreras is my catcher option, so a few hundred down from Gattis. I'm going with Goldschmidt as well at first base. I'm going top tier in my middle infield, so I have VR like yourself, but I also have Daniel Murphy up top. I was really thinking about going with Brian Dozier the whole time, you know, and the thought had crossed my mind to go with Aaron Hill, but I just, Daniel Murphy has been on such a tear, and Jeff Samardzija is so terrible against lefties. I'm just, it's really hard for me to punt it. I know it's the top overall guy at the position, but I feel safer about it with him there, especially since I have Martin Perez up top. I feel like I need some safety somewhere. And Evan Longoria is going to be at third for me, like the reasons we've mentioned here. David Dahl is just, like I mentioned, a lock and play for me at 4,100. I'm also rolling with Ozuna, and then my last outfielder will be Tyler Naquin. I think he goes yard off of Michael Pineda, and hopefully this wins the money. So I think that does a pretty good job of the slate, man. Like I mentioned before, really appreciate you coming on. Really awesome to talk some DFS with you. We will, you know, have Cam on in a couple weeks, but certainly you're welcome back anytime. Just for listeners, again, let everybody know where you can be reached on Twitter, and let everybody know, again, what sites you're doing all your stuff on and all that jazz.
Sure, absolutely. First off, again, thanks for having me on. It's been a blast talking with you, Mike. Hopefully we've been able to give out some decent advice and haven't jinxed anybody. You know, in terms of myself, again, you can find me on Twitter at Wander34. You can find my MLB DFS work on Today's Knuckleball, where I post a free FanDuel cash games lineup each and every day. As football season kicks off here this weekend, you can also find some of my NFL content on Today's Pigskin, as well as the Gridiron Experts.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, appreciate you coming on. You can reach me on Twitter at Mike Werner, FWFB. Please, again, rate and review the podcast, not only the baseball feed, but also the brand new fantasy football feed that we have available on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, all of that stuff. Please rate and review it. Tell your friends about it. We have a lot of football content going up on friendswithfantasybenefits.com. We're continuing the baseball content as well. As usual, you can expect our Prospect podcast with myself and Matt Thompson on Mondays. We're continuing DFS coverage. We continue to have our usual Wednesday baseball show, as well as our Thursday baseball show. We're also, you know, going to be throwing out some fantasy football content. We have some guests lined up for the next few weeks to get you guys ready. Please stay tuned for that. You can check out my daily matchups column on baseballhq.com. That comes out every Saturday. And you can also check out my raise updates on fantasypros.com. With that said, for Wes and myself, win some money.